Well, good morning to all of you. Greet you in Jesus' name this morning. There was an announcement that Brother Ernest missed, so I'll take care of that. I think Bentley is here for the first time this morning, so welcome, Bentley, and God bless you, Dwayne and Levina, as you raise him to be a pillar in Christ's kingdom. We're also thankful for a new birth in Christ. Natalie gave her heart to the Lord, and she wants to share her testimony with us this morning. So go ahead, Natalie. Thank you, Natalie. God bless you. Romans 10, 9 and 10 say that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So God bless you as you begin your journey with Christ and enjoy salvation. I'm afraid I'll forget to pray for these two new lives at the end, so let's just pause for prayer right now. Lord, we thank you for this another beautiful day you've given to us. Thank you for the opportunity to gather together and worship. Lord, just thank you for the encouragement that we have received this morning. Lord, I just pray that you'd be with the preaching of your word this morning. Pray that you'd give me clarity of thought and wisdom, Lord. I also want to pray for Natalie and bless her for accepting the call of salvation in her life and giving her life to you. Pray you bless her in this walk. Pray that you give her strength for when Satan wants to attack her and to make her doubt her salvation. Lord, I pray that you give her encouragement and strength in that. And just give her strength for her journey. Lord, we just also thank you for the new life of Bentley. And I just pray that you would bless Dwayne and Levina with wisdom and grace as they raise him. And just thank you for the gift of our children. Just pray you give us, as parents, wisdom to train them up to be pillars in your kingdom. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. For our message this morning, you can open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 35. I do again want to greet you in the name of Jesus. And I feel like the sermon this morning has been well introduced from the devotional. Moses read from Isaiah chapter 1. And if feels like it was an introduction to what I want to share this morning. If you were in the book of Isaiah, I'll just read the next couple verses that Moses did not read. He ended with verse 15, I believe. Verse 16 says, "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as wool." This morning, the title for the message is The Way of Holiness. And we find that here in verse 8 of chapter 35. And I've just been blessed by our Sunday school study of the book of Zechariah over the last number of weeks and months, and how there's just language in there that points to, well, as I see it, three different levels of understanding. There's a message there for the Jews, the people that it was written to. It was a blessing to them. It can be a blessing to us as we look into it and study, and there's aspects of it that are yet to come. So I want to be cognizant of that fact as we look at the book of Isaiah here this morning and how those principles apply to the chapter 35 that we're going to look at here this morning. Because Isaiah was written to a very similar time period to the book of Zechariah and prophesying of the Messiah that would come. And Isaiah is such a beautiful book. If you just read through it, sometimes it's called the fifth gospel because there's so much in the book that is talking about the kingdom of Christ. Start reading here in verse 8. "And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, the fools shall not err therein. Now, I don't know what comes to your mind when you read the word holiness or you hear the word holiness, but it's not something that we talk about a lot. And I think it's important that we highlight it here this morning. Is it something that we experience? Do we live in holiness? Or is it something that we see as out there somewhere, and that someday we'll cross this threshold into a place of holiness? Or is it something that is just for priests, or just something that's for bishops, or whatever term you want to put in there? Or is holiness a part of your life and my life today? I want to think about that a little bit this morning. Well, what is holiness? According to Webster's, it's the quality of our state or of being holy. And holy means sacred or physically pure or morally blameless. As you think about that, does that apply to your life and my life here this morning? Are we sacred? Are we set apart? Are we living in purity? Are we morally blameless? Are our sins taken care of? And as I look at my own life, I see a need for more holiness in my life. The filth of the flesh just presses in on me. It's very close, and it needs that constant washing of the Spirit, like we read from Isaiah chapter 1. I do want to read the full chapter here, so let's begin reading in verse 1, Isaiah chapter 35. Verse 1 says, "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of God. Strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For the wilderness shall waters break out. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not enter therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." What a beautiful passage of Scripture in the Old Testament, talking about the coming kingdom of Jesus Christ. Just looking back to chapter 34 is prophesying of a coming judgment of God on an evil nation. And in chapter 35, there's this message of hope to the people, this promise that the Messiah would come and restore and to transform. And that's what we see taking place here in this chapter, in these first verses 1 and 2. This wilderness, this solitary place, this desert place, desolate, it's going to blossom. And where there was no life before, life will spring up. Not life like you would expect to see in a desert place, where if something does spring up, it is very unhealthy looking and shrivels up and soon dies. But this is a flourishing place in the desert. Spiritual life springs up in some of the most unlikely places. I'm amazed again and again how it doesn't look like it's worth the effort to us. But when Christ brings life to a desert place, to a dry place, life springs forth, and God gets the glory when that happens. Verse 3 and 4 says, "Strengthen," some verses of encouragement. "Strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees." This is a message of of encouragement and of warning. These verses are encouraging to me that our Savior is there in our greatest need. When we're at the end of ourselves, when we're just weak physically, weak spiritually, the Savior is there to strengthen us and to give us strength and courage to go on. And when we come to the end of ourselves, that's when He can transform us and make us into new people, into new creatures. And He can transform us, like we see happening here in this chapter. The dead being brought to life, and the dry becoming a wet place. Verse 5 and 6. Miracles happen. The eyes of the blind are opened. The ears of the deaf are opened. They can hear. One day, John the Baptist was in prison, and he was discouraged about his current situation. And he sent some of his followers. He said, Go talk to Jesus and ask him, are you the one that we're looking for? Is there another one that's going to come and be our Messiah? And Jesus told them to go back and tell John that the eyes of the blind are open, for the blind see, the lame are walking, the deaf hear, and the dumb speak. I'm forgetting the end of those verses again. It's Matthew chapter... Oh, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. I do have that in my notes here. Go tell John, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. That's Matthew 11, verse 5. Go give this encouragement to John that, yes, I am the one that is bringing life. Verse 7 is a picture of a parched ground. It shall become a pool. And the thirsty land has springs of water. The dry is turned into plenty. And then we have verse 8. It's where we're going to spend most of our time here this morning, thinking about the way of holiness. I'm just going to read verse 8 again. And highway shall be there. In this wilderness place, in this desolate place that is turned to prosperous, there's a highway. And the way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. Now, I love this picture of this road or highway that's going through this land. And there's a group of people who are on this road, and they're headed towards a destination. And there's something different about this group of travelers. They are holy people. They're set apart. And they're on the way of holiness. That's the name of this road, is the way of holiness. What I take from these verses is that holiness is to be lived out. It's not a destination that we'll someday reach, like I mentioned earlier. But it's a walk that we pursue. And it's something that we're called to in our daily life. I'd like to turn to 1 Peter. Peter talks a lot about holiness. 1 Peter, let's start reading in chapter 1. Verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's read verse 13 through 16. Thinking about the call of holiness on our lives. If we're on the way of holiness, what that call looks like to us. It says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because as it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So in verse 15, it says, be holy in all manner of conversation, in every aspect of life. Be holy, not just when we're here on a Sunday morning, not just when we're in front of this person or that person, but in all manner of conversation. Be holy. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that he should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are a people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Let's read verse 11 as well. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Now let's turn over to 2 Peter and read chapter 3, 11 through 14. I think Tony read some of these verses already this morning, but 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. Brothers and sisters, this morning we are called to live lives of holiness. It's not just for old folks. It's not just for the person over there. It's not just for those who are called radical. It's for us in our daily life. We need to be people of holiness. And I want to be clear. Number one, it's possible only through the blood of Jesus that we can be holy. And number two, it's only attainable by the power of the Holy Spirit. Those are two key elements in living a life of holiness. It's only possible through the blood of Jesus, and it's only attainable by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not that I can somehow set myself apart and get myself far enough away from the world around me that I can somehow be holy over here by myself. That is not the holiness that we're talking about here. It's only through the washing of the blood of Jesus, and we'll get to that a little bit later, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Turn back to Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 8. I'd like to look at a couple different aspects of verse 8. Number one is the highway. It says, verse 8 starts with, and an highway shall be there. I'd like to think about this highway a little bit. These words that Isaiah used to describe this way, they're very descriptive, and we can learn from them. The word highway, here if you look it up in Strong's, it means a thoroughfare or a turnpike. And I connected with this description of turnpike because we're familiar with what a turnpike is. We don't live very far away from one. There's a couple different things, lessons we can learn from a turnpike. The highway of holiness has a direction of travel. The turnpike south of us here has an east and a west. And depending where you're going is which one you get on. And the way of holiness is towards God and his holiness. And every day, progressing more and more in that holiness, more and more being like our Savior. And when we see the holiness of God, we realize our great need. And we need his transforming power. That's what the transforming power that we see here in chapter 35 in the first verses. The desert blooms. The dry land become pools of water. We need that transforming power in our lives to walk this way of holiness. This way of holiness is a road from death to life. That's the direction of travel. And even though I have lived here for a number of years, whenever I get on the turnpike, I still come through the toll booth. And I take the time to look carefully at those signs because one is going east and the other one is going west. And it's a big deal if you get on the one that's going west and you want to be going east. We'll talk about that more a little bit later. The turnpike, this highway, has limited access. You can't just get on the turnpike wherever you want to or however you want to. This past week I was working for a customer. His property bordered the turnpike. And it would just be a lot more convenient for him if he could just get on the turnpike when it comes past his farm. It'd save him a lot of time and energy if he could just have his own little access to get on and go down the road. But no, he lives about 4 or 5 miles out of Somerset. And if he wants to get on the turnpike, he has to go back into Somerset and get on the turnpike at the toll booth. That's just the way you get on the turnpike. And this highway of holiness is similar in that you have to enter the highway at the straight gate. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. We know these verses well. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. There's a narrow toll booth to get on the highway of holiness. And there's a toll that must be paid. We must give up our own way and our own self-righteousness and our own flesh. That gate is very narrow. Jesus reminded us of that. And we get on the highway of holiness when we accept the blood of Christ as the payment for our sin. And the toll is paid to pass from death to life. And we accept that payment and we commit our lives to walking in holiness. One way this way of holiness is different than the turnpike is we can get off whenever we choose. The turnpike out here, you have to stay on until you get to the next exit. But in the way of holiness, you can get off whenever you choose to. From time to time, I get a door delivery truck that comes from Chambersburg, and they'll get on the turnpike, and they'll come down, and they'll get to Bedford, and they'll be in the left lane, and they miss the exit for Bedford to come up 99 to make my delivery. And I'll get a phone call from the driver, and he'll say, I'm going to be an hour and a half late. I missed my exit for Bedford. I couldn't get over. This means he needs to drive 40 miles west of Somerset, turn around, and come back. That's not the way it is on the highway of holiness. We can get off whenever we choose to. We can get allured by the things that this world has to offer. And I can succumb to my flesh. And I can continue to feed my flesh, and I can be pulled off this way of holiness. And I can waste that provision that was paid for me to walk the way of holiness. That toll that was paid, if we can use that word, by the blood of Jesus, I can squander that and take my own way and be pulled off this way. Let's not waste what Christ has paid so we can walk in holiness. Third aspect of this highway is it's a high road. Verse 9 points this out. It says, no lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It's a call upward and away from the baseness that's around us. Not that we view ourselves up here and everyone else is down here, but as we walk in holiness before God, it calls us upward. It calls us away from the things that the world has to offer us. I often hear customers talk about the situation that our country's in. They say, oh, we're in such a bad situation, or I never thought I would see it get this bad. And I try to point them to the real problem and to point them to the real solution. That when we get away from the Word of God, when we get away from His holiness, it's a downhill spiral. It's just a natural occurrence. This is a theme in Scripture. Proverbs 16, verse 17 says, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil, and he that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Isaiah 49, 11, and I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. New Living says it this way, and I will make my mountains into level paths for them, and the highways will rise above the valleys. And Isaiah 62, 10 says, Go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye, the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. Thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. This way of holiness is a high road. It calls us above the things of this world and closer to God. If you notice in this verse 8, 9, and 10, I want to look at the people that are on this road. First thing we notice is in the end of verse 8, it says, the unclean shall not pass over it. This highway is for those who have had their sins washed away by the blood of Jesus. Psalms 24, verse 3 and 4 says, who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. This highway is for people who have been cleansed, who are washed. Turn to Titus chapter 3. Let's read 3 verses there. Titus chapter 3, verse 3 to 6. For we ourselves also sometimes were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Verse 4. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. The folks on the highway of holiness have been washed. They are cleansed, and they are walking in holiness. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1, gives us our part of that. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And again, we get that thought of pressing towards, walking towards God and becoming more and more like him. And then those verses from 2 Corinthians are referencing the verses from chapter 6, where it talks about, come out from among them and be separate, and touch not the unclean thing, saith the Lord. So we have a responsibility in this cleansing. Yes, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from our sins, but then we have a responsibility to step away from the things that make our flesh filthy and to walk in holiness. Going back to Isaiah 35, the men that are on this road are wayfaring men. And that's not a word that we use very often, for sure. But this word is an action word. And it means to walk or to exercise oneself or to grow. Webster's defines wayfaring as a traveler, especially on foot. And if you look at this word in the context of scriptures, what it means, you can look at Judges and Jeremiah. It describes this wayfaring man as a traveler. He is one who is passing through a country. He might stop for a night or so, but he keeps traveling. He has a destination in mind. He's not staying here. He's moving through. And these people that are on the highway of holiness, it calls them wayfaring men. They're traveling men. They're moving through. Hebrews 13, verse 14 says, For we have here no continuing city, but we seek one to come. So those on this highway of holiness have a different identity than the land they are traveling through. Do our lives portray this as we think about being men and women of holiness? Does our identity portray that we're just passing through this land? It's so easy for us to get caught up in the system of this world. Matt reminded us there on Wednesday night of one of those traps. Don't be too radical. Don't take it too far. Just relax a little bit. But a person who's walking on this way of holiness, he's going to be a stranger in ungodly society. And too often I find myself fitting too closely into the world's mold and getting caught up with their way of thinking about things. And I need to have my mind renewed. 1 Peter 4, 1-4, you don't need to turn there. But it says, For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past, our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Wherefore they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. As we're passing on this way of holiness, are we getting pulled off by the things around us? But as men and women, as wayfarers on this way of holiness, are we focused on becoming more like our Savior, pressing towards the mark, like Paul says, to keep walking towards this pursuit of holiness. The end of verse 8 tells us some people that are not going to be on the way of holiness. It says, though fools shall not err therein. And if we study these word meanings here, I think it points to people who are not committed to the way, who are not living in holiness. They're just sort of floating along, bumping along. Those people are not the ones that are going to be on this way of holiness. The people who are on this way are men who are committed, who are standing for what is right, and they are finding victory in this way. When we get caught by the devil, when we're drawn away of our own lusts and we're enticed, and that's where the foolish ways are, when we are pulled away and we're distracted from our journey towards holiness. The end of verse 9 tells us about another type of person who is on this road. Verse 9 says, but the redeemed shall walk there. That's those who are redeemed, means to buy back, to be redeemed. Next of kinsmen. You know how it was in the Old Testament, where if a brother died, another brother would step in and redeem that situation. Or if there was a slave that could be freed, it was through redemption, and we have found that redemption through Christ ourselves. We've been bought back. We were his, but he bought us back and brought us back into that relationship with him. Turn to Titus chapter 2. Read some verses there on redemption. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that in denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Christ has bought us back from these things that want to take us down. He's paid the price so that we can walk in victory. Let's not squander that gift that he's given to us. In verse 8, again, verse 9, it talks about ransomed. And that means to be released or rescued. We have been released and rescued from our sinful nature. And as we walk this way of holiness, we can walk in freedom from those things that drag us down. Yes, we struggle with them, but we can find that freedom through the blood of Christ. In verse 10 of Isaiah 35 is some expressions of holiness. And Moses pointed out some of those to us this morning. But I think that worship is an expression of holiness. Back to the text here, it says, and the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Worship is expression of holiness. When we have an open heart before God, it produces that worship that we experienced this morning. I hope as we got up this morning and it was such a beautiful morning and we have our consciences clear, we can worship God this morning in the beauty of holiness, Psalm says. And then we have this everlasting joy, this joy that surpasses the things that are around us. There's a lot of things that can drag us down in life, difficulties that we face, struggles that we face. But as we live in holiness, there's this joy that we can have as a part of our lives, and that we can find fulfillment in that way. So my encouragement this morning is to us as we walk this way of holiness, that it's part of our daily lives. It's not just something that we have out in the future that we're hoping someday, well, we might cross that threshold or we might obtain to that, but it's part of our daily quest to be more like Christ. And in that journey, we put away the filth of the flesh and to put on that true holiness and walk in that way. God bless us as we do that. Let's pray.
Father in heaven, we again bow before you this morning. Lord, thank you for making a way for us that we can be redeemed, we can be bought back, and we can live lives of holiness. Lord, we just thank you that you can dwell in our hearts and that we can have the joy of salvation, the joy of forgiveness in our lives. Lord, just pray that if there's someone here this morning who is walking in the filth of the flesh or is struggling with temptations, I pray that you would just give them your spirit, and you speak to them, and they'd be willing to surrender their lives to you, to take your holiness as part of their lives. Lord, just help us all on our journey with you as we walk with you and towards you. I pray that you would bless us with your confirmation of your spirit and that we could be more like you. Lord, just pray for those who couldn't be here this morning for whatever reason, that you would just minister to their needs. Bless those who are meeting in secret in other countries who are persecuted, that you've lost them and given strength to remain faithful to you. Lord, I just pray that as we walk in this land, and there's many distractions, I pray also that